Except the power of the Lord is present or anything else that's worth anything, I'm depending fully and wholly upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Now, I've invited him to come into this service, as I know you've been doing the same thing. Now, tomorrow night, the Lord willing, we're going to pray for the sick, but not just the sick. There's something about a divine healing service that reaches a lot further than physical bodies. There's something about learning how to believe God, and if we learn how to touch God for physical things, we can also touch him for spiritual things. So while you're grasping these truths tomorrow night about divine healing, God can do something for you in many other areas. And I'd like to leave one verse of scripture with you concerning the service tomorrow night. How many here tonight has the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Would you put your hand up and wave it? Hallelujah. All right, to you, to all of you, I don't have to try to preach faith into you. You receive faith when you receive the Holy Ghost. For the Bible said in Romans the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The night God baptized you with the Holy Ghost, he gave you the measure of faith. And that measure of faith is to remain with you as long as the Holy Ghost is inside of you. God knew the split second you was filled with the Holy Ghost, every battle you'd ever have, every battle that you'd ever cross, every sickness or disease that ever might ever get hold of your body. And he gave you the measure of faith that night to take care of it. So you don't have to get out and pray for a carload of faith for tomorrow night. You've already got it if you got the Holy Ghost. The only thing, my job, is to try to get you to use what you got. And if I can get you to use that great, wonderful, powerful faith that's been lying dormant in some of you for a long time, the miracle will instantly happen in your life. Now, to those that do not have the Holy Ghost, we're going to preach the word to you, and the Lord's going to drop some faith in your heart if you'll believe the Bible. Hallelujah. All right, everybody say, I've got faith. I know I've got faith because Jesus gave it to me. Let's thank him for it. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you, you may be seated. Don't miss Brother Eckstadt tomorrow. I tell you, better bring your Bible because he'll have to preach something you don't know whether you believe it or not. So you'll have to get the Bible, and if you'll bring your Bible, you'll find out he always finds a chapter and verse somewhere. Praise God. So bring it along. I enjoyed that today. I know perhaps you've heard the story a lot of times about the fellow that bought him a ticket to cross the ocean. He's very poor. Perhaps an old country boy like I still am. And he didn't know a lot of things. And so he took him a box of cheese and crackers, and he kept them under his cot while everybody else was going down to the kitchen and eating beefsteak, ham and eggs. He was eating cheese and crackers. And of course, this went on, so he was almost ashore. But one day, he said, I can't stand it any longer. I've ate cheese and crackers until I can't stand another bite. I'm going to take a few dollars that I've got here, and I'm going to go down and buy me a beefsteak. So he finally lined up, and he said, lady, he said, just how much beefsteak can I get for $2? The lady said, ma'am, said, it won't cost you anything. Said, when you bought your tickets, you paid for your meals. He said, oh, Lord. I've been eating cheese and crackers for 3 weeks tonight. Could have been eating ham and eggs and beef steaks every day. And that's the way of a lot of us Pentecostals. We eat cheese and crackers. When God filled us with the Holy Ghost, it's all on the ticket. It's all taken care of. Divine healing is ours. Praise God. It's ours and everything else. There's a whole lot come with that ticket. I'm finding something new every day. Now, there's one thing, don't doubt. The Lord knows, and I might mention this, there's times the Holy Spirit moves to call people out, but I don't follow that too much. Unless I'm really compelled with the Holy Spirit. As Brother Eckstadt's been mentioning, there's a time, you know, to shout. And if we get to where we feel like we've got to shout every time we come to church, and I've seen a few folks shout anyhow, and it was in the flesh, you're going to miss it somewhere, because there might be a shouting service, there may be a crying service, and there may be another kind of service, and you've got to get with all of them. And I don't want to just follow one plan and one idea. But sometimes we do. And when the Holy Ghost moves. I never forget one time. I'm telling you this just to let you know that God knows your problem. And He knows exactly what's wrong. He knows your name and address and every spirit that's troubling you. And don't forget that. You know, sometimes we're prone to feel like we're in some far-off land and God's in another far-off country. And He really don't know what's going on. But He does. I was going to a big healing campaign once. And this fellow had a tent, supposes. I forget now, I see 10 or 15,000. It was the largest tent I'd ever seen in all of my life. But God gave me a vision, and He said, and I saw myself in the vision sitting on the front seat, my wife and all of us. And so driving along, I told my wife and my daughter and her girlfriend, I said, we're supposed to sit on the front seat. But when we got there was about 10,000 people. And brother, it was packed down that way, except there was about 4 seats that they had roped off. But I sat down way back there and needed a telescope to see the pulpit almost. My wife looked over at me and sort of grinned and said, this is a long ways from the front. But a little while, and of course, that wasn't my denomination anyway, and nobody knew me, of course. I did see one preacher across that I knew that night out of all the 10 or 15,000. Anyway, this usher, he was just walking around, and he all of a sudden, he stopped right by me, and he said, how do you do? And I said, fine. He said, would you like to sit down to front? I said, yes, I sure would, but I have my wife and my daughter and her girlfriend. He said, all of you follow me. So we followed him, and they put wife and I on the front seat, and my daughter and her girlfriend on the seat right behind us, exactly the way God showed me. Then I questioned the Lord about it. I said, now, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you go to all the trouble to show me where I was going to sit? Because I hadn't caught on yet. Really, I didn't get too much out of the service. He said, I want you to know and always remember that I knew you from the foundation of the world, and of course all of my ministers. And he said, I know where you're going to be next week, next year, even to where you're going to sit throughout all eternity. I know everything, he said. I want you to know that, son, that wherever you go, wherever you sit, I knew you was going to sit there before you ever got there. Now, that's God. And that made me feel so good. Well, he knows when I'm driving down the road. He knows when I'm sitting in the cafe. He knew before I got there which one I was going to. He knew I was going to preach the Alabama camp this year, years before you ever had one. He's got it all planned. Isn't that great? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I say again, I don't believe in unconditional predestination. I believe I was in God's plan from the foundation of the world, but I didn't have to be. He had it planned. But I'm a free moral agent, and I could have said yes, and I did say yes, but I could have said no. Amen. But I'm glad I said yes. So tonight I want to turn to my scripture reading tonight. Saints, everybody say it again, I believe God. Jesus Christ said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Didn't he say it? If you believe it, say amen. He gave us power over all the power of the devil. All right, we're reading our scripture tonight found in Matthew, the 12th chapter. You ministers know this by heart. You preached it many times. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. The last state of that man is worse than the first. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, living in a haunted house. How many has heard about old haunted house? You've heard about it. I don't believe in it, but there may be some devils there, but I don't believe that human beings come back and roam around. But I do believe the demons that was in the man can come back and roam around. And demons and fallen angels can haunt a house. And I'll never forget one time I went to an old house way back out. I used to like to roam around. I was just a kid. And there was an upstairs in this old house. And I was just dying to find out what was up there. And of course, finally I got the nerve to climb those long winding stairs. And when I got up there, there was an old trunk. And it was full of old Civil War relics and stuff. And I had to top over that old trunk, and I was down on my knees. And all of a sudden, I heard the stairs cracking and creaking. And all of a sudden, I knew that a ghost or somebody was coming up those stairs. And I left the trunk, and I said, ghost, if you're coming up the stairs, you're fixing to get run over. Because I'm coming down. And I came down. But I didn't see anything. I think it was just the March wind causing the old house to crack and to pop. There was really no ghost there. But of course, I'm not going to talk about that kind of a haunted house tonight. These houses are the ones I'm going to talk about tonight. Because tonight, in this old world of sin, there's over 3 billion people living in a haunted house. They're wrathless. They're tormented. Tonight, they bow before Lucifer, the king of darkness. They are slaves under the iron hand of the wicked Satan that was once called Lucifer, the son of the morning. Satan never forgives. He never loves. He can't love. He hates with a passion. And his 3 billion souls bowing under his foot tonight, begging for another fix, begging for another quart of whiskey, begging for something else. And so there they bow tonight. They claim they're free, but they're slaves to the king of darkness. They're living in haunted houses. They're restless, they're tormented, they're roaming the earth. And as the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this death? Who can deliver me from death, from the powers of Satan? The world hasn't heard what Paul had to say about deliverance. I could preach tonight and use this another subject. I've got a demon on my back. I've got a demon on my back. And I preach to you tonight from experience, because for over 20 years, having been in the healing ministry, traveling from coast to coast, preaching in some of the largest auditoriums in the nation, people come from far and near. There's a string of people coming to my door. My phone rings day and night. I hear a cry on the other end. Brother Barnes, there's a demon got a hold of my soul. Just a few nights ago, I received a call from the campground. Someone had called and said, please send somebody. I get somebody to telephone, and we couldn't find the person. They left the number and said it was an emergency. I stepped down. I have dealt with demon power so long until I knew that there was something in the air. So I said, on my own time, I'm going to call this woman. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I called. And a voice, trembling voice on the other end, answered. I said, I'm Brother Barnes. This lady belonged to another church. I said, I felt led to call you. I said, we possibly can't find the party that you're looking for until service is over tonight. She says, well, Reverend, that'll be too late. I have already taken an overdose of sleeping pills. And my little babies are lying here, and I wanted somebody to come in time to at least see my babies and pick them up after I'm gone. And I realized I was going to have to talk to her to keep her from going to sleep. Every once in a while, I could tell that she was about to doze. And I'd say, wake up, woman. You got babies lying in there. There's help on the way, but hang on. Don't you go to sleep in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you go to sleep. She told me a sad story. Her husband had left her. She'd had a hysterectomy operation at 26 years old, and the doctor said she had cancer, and they didn't get it all. She said, it was too much for me. I couldn't face it. My husband gone, dying with cancer at 26. So leave my babies. I couldn't stand it, so I decided to end it all. I said, you wouldn't end it all. You wouldn't end it all, lady. You would land in a burning lake of fire and brimstone. How your troubles would just begin. Wake up! Wake up! And I held on. On the final, there was a knock on the door, and the police came. The next night, she was in the altar, screaming her head off, praying and asking forgiveness. I do not know, since she was not from my part of the country, but she was in good hands of some Pentecostal people. I hope by this time she's filled with the Holy Ghost. But just to let you know, my friend, there's people everywhere that come to the end of the rope. They need a preacher. They need a preacher. She said, I've never had a preacher to take up any time of me. I didn't know that I could turn to somebody like you for help. I said, listen, the United Pentecostal preacher's always ready to help. There's always help. If there's a United Pentecostal church in reach, there's always somebody that'll take time out to talk to you and help you. I've had them to call me on the other end of the line and said, preacher, I'm fixing to blow my brains out.
I just thought I'd tell you, and I would at least like for you to preach the funeral. One of them, I said, man, for God's sakes, you don't need a funeral. You need the Holy Ghost. He said, what's that? I said, that's the Spirit of the living God that can come into your heart and deliver you from alcohol. He was an alcoholic. He said, I'm no good. He said, I tried to commit suicide 2 or 3 months ago. He said, I shot myself through and through right under the heart, but I just barely missed my heart. But he said, tonight, I'm going to blow my head off. I've got a shotgun here. I'm going to end it all. I said, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man. I said, haven't you heard that Jesus Christ can deliver you from demons? That he can set you free and you can be a new man? He said, never heard it. I said, come over here and let us pray for you. He came over and God filled him with the Holy Ghost that night. I baptized him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I never dreamed that there was anything like this in the world. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know, my friend, demon power is raging. I read in Revelation 16 and 13 where John the Revelator saw in the end time, just before the battle of Armageddon, 3 unclean spirits like frogs enter into the kings of the earth. When I read that today, I thought of an article I saw the other day. Some wild parties in the White House. One of the former presidents, actually people running naked in the White House. Big parties going in mixed bathing, completely nude. Oh, my friends, we're living in perilous times when demons are entering in to the dictators and the kings and the president. Our nation, our national capital, is one of the most dangerous spots on the face of the earth. No longer can people walk up and down the streets at night. Demon power has taken over. Revelation 12 and 12. The angel said, rejoice, ye heavens. Rejoice because Satan and his angels have been cast out. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Revelation 9 tells us that demons will be loosed from the pit. They'll cover the earth like locusts. My friend, this old world has been invaded of demon power. Now from another world. All the true blue folks that are full of the Holy Ghost is going to be able to stand from here on. Witchcraft has invaded the land. I never heard of Satan worshippers till a few years ago. But I've met them and I've prayed for them. I've seen the Lord deliver some, yet I've seen some stand back with the devil blazing through their eyes. We don't want deliverance. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, we read of the spirit of the Antichrist was it at work even in Paul's day. It's always been. Satan has been working for thousands of years, planning this end time revival of wickedness and evil that's filling the earth today. I want to deal with 2 or 3 kinds, at least 3 things here tonight. And listen to this closely before I go on into my sermon. Obsession is a state of being vexed, influenced, evil thoughts, suggestions to do evil. Genesis 6 and 5, every imagination of the heart, continually evil. My friend, wake up! Wake up when you begin to be vexed with demon power, evil and ungodly thoughts invading your mind, coming and going. And then there's the spirit of oppression. In Acts 10:38, Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed
of the devil, oppression, is being unreasonably burdened, despondent, no hope, lead in the heart, a feeling of darkness, a sinking down, sometimes even doubting the very existence of Almighty God. Never has the world been more plagued with oppression than it is now. Even the saints of God sometimes have to battle the powers of depression. There's one thing I want to say tonight, and don't believe the stuff you hear going over the country. Nobody who has the Holy Ghost can be possessed by the devil. The devil has to do all of his work from the outside. He can't get on the inside. Possession is a man that is completely taken over, goes insane, becomes a raving maniac. Lying spirits take a hold of him. Witchcraft, suicide. He's liable to do anything in the world. When these powers completely possess him, like the man I read to you here in the Bible tonight, started out with one devil. He got delivered from it, but evidently he didn't get filled, because the demons came back and found the vessel empty. And the devil made sure this time that this man would never get a loose again. So he taken seven other devils, more wicked than himself. And Jesus said the last fate of that man was worse than the first. Let me tell you, backslider, every day you live in sin, you're picking up another devil. Every day you live in sin, another devil's taking a hold of your soul. And pretty soon you'll be possessed. You'll be like old Legion, a raving maniac. Amen. The nature of demons, they're evil. They're powerful. They're intelligent. The Apostle Paul mentioned spiritual wickedness in high places. Demons that are intelligent. Fallen angels, they know what they're doing. And no human being is a match for them without the Holy Ghost. The work of demons, they can cause deafness, blindness, sickness, insanity, doubt, worry, fear. They can bring all these things, even to the saint. If we don't resist him, he can stop us from hearing. He can stop us from seeing. He can bring a disease upon us and afflict our bodies. But he can't get inside of the soul. The methods of his getting position are getting into a person. He comes with a part truth, as he did to Eve. Just part of the truth. There's religious demons. They love to go to church. They love to put on a front. They're like Ananias and Sapphira. They're liars. They like to deceive. They like to drag young saints down. They'll tell the history of everybody in the church. That young, tender saint just prayed through. Don't need to hear about everything in the world. Yet there's some people the devil uses them. Their mouth is wide open like a barn door in a March wind. They never shut it. They're always blasting somebody. Those people have devils, religious devils. Oh, religious demons. All right. Back to our subject, living in a haunted house. Living in a haunted house. Cain was doing well, so one day
He became jealous because God heard Abel's prayer and didn't hear his. Rather than the liar, he killed his brother. His house became a haunted house of that day. Oh, he was a wanderer, a vagabond. Over and over you could hear him screaming in the night. I'm living in a haunted house. My brother's dove is crying out. Oh, about the time he pitched his tent, he couldn't stand it. He had to get up and go again. A vagabond, a tramp. Here and there. About the time he got settled down, wife, I gotta get out of here. I can't stand it any longer. I'm restless. I'm tormented. I can't stand it. God put more upon me than I can bear. No, Cain, you brought it on yourself. You turned your house into a haunted house. Rather than to straighten up and fly right, you broke the law of God. You became the first murderer. And you'll never have anything but a haunted house. The lust of the flesh can turn anybody's house into a haunted house. I hear David saying, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Oh, I'm so restless. Oh, I'm so upset. I wonder, God, I could fly away. I could get away from it. I can't stand it. I'm living in a haunted house. I take the man's wife, and I had him killed. And all hell's broke loose in my house. I'm living in a haunted house. Oh, son, if I could just take the wings of the morning and fly to the other side of the world. But then he thought, no, that wouldn't help because God's over there. If I just committed suicide and went to hell, that wouldn't do it. Just be worse. Oh, David, and all the Davids in the world tonight that has let the demon of lust tear their home apart. Oh, I never forget a man. He let the demon of lust. He was a great worker in the church, a great singer and a radio singer. But he let that demon dragging out. His wife came to my city and told me the story. I said, Lord, I said, tell him to come. I got to talk to him. He got out on his knees. I laid my hands on him. But I knew he wasn't going to give it up. But I pronounced the curse on him. I said, if you don't, you're cursed. I said, the woman you're leaving with will turn her back on you. Your seven children will secretly despise you. The day will come, you'll want to go back to your wife, and she won't have you. The day will come, you'll want to repent, and you can't because you're living in a haunted house. All hell will be broken loose. I said, one day you'll be sitting in an old shack, lonely, nobody cares for you. And you'd give 1,000 worlds if you had it all back. But he went on, and it happened as I told him. Just as I told him. I see him every once in a while with a haunted look. I know he's living in a haunted house. He'll never be happy. He's lost the respect of his children. He'll never be happy. He let a demon of lust turn his house into a haunted house. And all the millions out there that has fallen into the same sin.
that left God, that left the family, left their loved ones. Tonight, they're living in a haunted house. Oh, God, don't let the lust of the flesh turn your house into a haunted house where you'll never have anything but hell and disappointments. Amen. Amen. I knelt one night at an altar, and I said to a young lady and a young man, she had let this demon get a hold of her. She was once a shining Christian. And I said, let me tell you something. You can break loose now, or every day of your life more demons will come. And so one day they'll take over, and you'll not be able to resist. She went her way, and she lived in sin. But her house became a haunted house. Her marriage broke up. Her children were scattered. I got a call one morning about 3 o'clock, and I heard a voice on the other end sobbing, "Brother Barnes, Brother Barnes, my sister," and he called her name, "has just blown her brains out. She left a note, I can't stand it any longer." She was living in a haunted house. She remembered the church. Oh, she remembered her babies. Oh, she remembered the good feeling and the clean feeling. But now, she's living in a haunted house. And tonight, that haunted house is in hell, begging for a drop of water. But there's none there. You see, she's going to a place where there's nothing but a lake of fire and brimstone. No flowers ever bloom on the shores of that lake. No weeping willows ever wave their branches on the banks of that lake. No birds ever sing, because there is no trees and there is no birds. And there is no children on the black banks of that lake. There's nothing but the screams of those that lived on earth in a haunted house. And now the screams rise up to haunt one another forever and forever. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I said it's not worth it. When that demon knocks on your door, get on your knees. Not even a king that's chosen by the Almighty God, a man that stood head and shoulders above everybody else in all Israel, that had the anointing oil of the prophet Saul upon his head. But not even Saul could stand it after he let a jealous demon come into his house. One day he let a little old innocent-looking jealous devil step inside of his house. Jealous is as cruel as the grave. It tears up churches. It tears up homes. It'll turn your own house into a haunted house. King Saul, what's wrong? I'm having nervous spells. I can't sleep, and I can't eat. I need a musician. I need somebody. I need somebody. No, Saul. You need to get rid of that jealous devil before another one comes. You better wake up, Saul. It's not enough to go to church and let them play music and soothe your conscience. You better get rid of that devil. I see a lot of folks that have come to the altar just to soothe their conscience. They really didn't mean to get rid of anything. My God in heaven, King Saul, wake up, boy!
There's a suicide grave waiting for you. You better wake up. You better get rid of that jealous devil.
Well, it wasn't long until another devil steps in. One day, as David was playing the sweet music, he got that dagger, and he aimed it well.
David, you've got more than a jealous devil now. Your jealous devil has turned to a murderous demon.
And he threw that dagger, but David slipped out. He jumped aside.
You exposed King Saul. You would be a murderer. The only reason your hands are not dripping in blood, you missed. There's a supernatural power caused you to miss. Go ahead and be jealous and try to kill your brother or sister. You're going to miss. But that jagger, that's didn't miss him. It came back. So you better repent. You better repent. But no, one day, he played with the heavens of death. He walked the floor. He called in the prophets, but nobody could get an answer to him. The Philistines were out there, the armies were given, and his armies were losing faith. And he knew something had to be done. He prayed. Oh, but no answer. God wouldn't hear him. He was living in a haunted house. He walks the floor. Samuel's dead. There's no one to turn to. What am I going to do? Look out, Saul. Look out. You're fixing to break God's law. He said, I'll go down to the witch. I'll go down to the witch's house. When you get out of contact with God and backslide, don't tell me you won't wind up a Satan worshiper. Whenever your house becomes a haunted house and all hell turns loose, you'll go anywhere for a little temporary help. And so he disguised himself and he said, bring up Samuel. Of course, the witch couldn't have brought him up in a million years, but God intervened and God brought him up. God's the only one who can bring anybody back from the dead. And Samuel only pronounced judgment on him. The next day, as his sons lay dead, and the angels moving in, he taken that sword, that spear, and put it below the fifth rib. Saul, it had never come to this if you'd have got rid of that little jealous demon. It'll never come to this. But oh, when the unclean spirit's gone out of the man, he walks through dry places. Look out! That may sound so innocent, but a demon's getting on the inside of you, Nebuchadnezzar. You opened the gate, you opened the door. It wasn't long until he couldn't remember like he used to. Everything was a little foggy. He couldn't think just right. What's wrong? I don't know. Something's come over me. I'm so restless. And finally he went insane. And it drove him out into the field. And he ate grass like an ox. His fingernails grew out like bird claws and his hair like eagle flesh. Every morning when the sun came up, that great king of Babylon was crawling around wet with dew, finding his breakfast. Like the goat and the sheep and the animals. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar's house had become a haunted house. A house full of insane demons. Cholera! My God, how many is behind closed doors tonight in a padded cell that once ran the aisles and shouted the victory, but because they let a demon of pride, they got word about what the banker would say about the dressing and acting like Pentecostals. And they thought perhaps they might just let the standard down a little bit. And they said, well, everybody's doing it. And so they finally they go down and they buy a pair of those nice pretty little slacks. And oh, yes, and they begin to trim the hair. And you know, that old demon of pride slips in. And all of a sudden, Sister So-and-so has a screaming fit. And they find her pulling her hair. Like they found one I knew about in the bathtub with her clothes on, taking a bath. Pride couldn't humble themselves to walk with the humble. They was proud. So God had to take them out of the bank. He had to take them out of the business. He had to let them go insane. He turned their house into a haunted house. A demon of pride. All right. These are some spirits that's invaded the earth. Never have I dealt with so many of these. Never in all of my life. And I'd rather deal with any other spirit than this one. When I get through dealing with them, I feel like I need to go take a shower. I feel like I'm unclean. Because I'm dealing with unclean spirits. And there's something about the Holy Ghost that wants to pull back. You know, God gets sick at his stomach. Lukewarm people make him sick at his stomach. Unclean spirits of immorality. There's legions of them. Oh, they're possessed with evil thoughts. Pornography literature. I love the late shows. Whether it's on television or the movies. Let me tell you something. Television has come to, well, has become the Antichrist's greatest instrument to hypnotize you and bring you under his power and dominion. Did you know that now they have what is known as mental telepathy hypnosis? Did you know that if you've ever been hypnotized by one of those fellows, that they can hypnotize you if you're on the other side of the world anytime he wants to? If you've ever been under his spell once, he can bring you under again and again. Don't ever forget that. Unless you're full of the Holy Ghost and under the blood of Jesus Christ. A witch can come on that screen, and a person is subject to that, that's out from under the blood of Jesus Christ, can look into those eyes, and he'll bring them under a spell. God in heaven, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in dangerous times. And while you sit and you watch one of those sexy, ungodly films, an unclean spirit can possess you. And you find yourself wanting to do strange and unheard of things. And then you start. And it's not long. It goes beyond the house to another house. And another house. And another house. And you're done for. We seem to stay clean. In our own house. Inside and out. Unclean demons are invading the earth. You know all a hypnotic has to do to get you under a spell is get you to do just a few things he tells you to do. Come on and watch this one. And it's designed to bring you under. I'm preaching to you tonight. The Holy Ghost is right here with me. Did you know that some angels here on the platform of me tonight?
Amen. The Lord may let some of you see them. I don't know. It has been done, and they've been seen by preachers that never have seen one in their life. But they're around here tonight because these angels are protecting me because I'm invading the kingdom of darkness tonight. Amen. Pulling the cover off of him. Watch out, these evil, ungodly spirits. I was told when I was in San Francisco that there is 17,000 known homosexuals in that city. That's known. I hear there's over 17 million in the United States that's known about. Jesus said as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. This earth is becoming filled. You say, well, God delivers such people. Absolutely, God can do anything. They've got to want deliverance. And I read no longer than yesterday one of the lady counselors in the papers. Someone had written in about their daughter. Perhaps anybody read that? She was a lesbian. Her advice was let her alone. In other words, let her do her own thing. They accept it as a way of life. It's a way of hell. It's a way of Lucifer. Amen. Everybody say amen or get out one. I want you to know that Jesus Christ can deliver. He can set men free if they want to be free. I prayed for one 35 years old just 2 years ago that was deep in it, had been in it all of his life. No one believed, even his family never believed he could get delivered, but he got delivered, married, he's very happy, talking to me about writing a book. He told me all the gay clubs that he had visited. He said, I can tell you the street, I can tell you where they're at, but he said, I'm free. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost can do anything. If a man will get full of the Holy Ghost and stay full of the Holy Ghost, these unclean spirits will never, never, never overcome him. I'm a staunch believer that the Holy Ghost can do anything. Bless your heart. There's not a doubt, not a shadow of a doubt in my mind. Hallelujah. All right, we could stay there a long time, but oh God in heaven, I think about... Here's another demon that's tormenting the world, and that's fear. Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for fear. Oh, God. People are scared to death. And if we're not careful, we'll let it get a hold of us. That's right. We'll let it get a hold of us. And I don't want that to happen. I want to give you a solution tonight. Praise God. I just got to do it. I didn't have this plan, but it just hit me right then. Read it to them. Read it to them. Praise God, hallelujah. And so I'm going to do it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If we ever needed to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, it's now. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. Everybody say it. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Everybody said, shall not come nigh me. That's what he meant, it shall not come nigh me. Black plague can break out, the yellow plague can break out, any other plague. But if you'll stand on the word, it shall not come nigh. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, and thou shalt know evil. Everybody say that, no evil. Say it again, no evil. And thou shalt know evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I have folks always telling me about devils coming in their home. And that could be true occasionally. But I'm not letting no devil move in one of my rooms. Because the Lord gave me a scripture here. He'll not come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Saints, do you know we got angels, ministering spirits to stand by? Amen. Get this demon off my back. In the name of the Lord, he's coming off, if you believe it. You see, it's not maybe or might. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, in my name you'll cast out devils. You will cast out devils. These signs shall follow them that believe. Everybody say, I believe. These signs will follow us tonight. In his name we'll cast out devils. Amen. We can because he said we could. I'm not up here telling you I can do it. I'm telling you I can do it because he said I could do it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Not too long ago, just a few months ago, I think it was in January, a demon-possessed man was brought. I mean demon-possessed. He was raving just about. And I talked to him off, and he had a knife in his pocket. He said, are you planning to use a knife on me? He didn't know. He never met me before. They brought him to another state. He said, are you planning to use a knife on me? I said, no, but I'm planning on the Lord using one on you. He'd jump up out of his seat. But he never could jump on me. He said, do you think I'm a girl? When people are devil-possessed, they'll have to say anything. No. I said, I didn't say that. Well, it was about time for service to start. And he sat down here. And the evangelist didn't know about all this. One of the finest evangelists that I know that had he knew in time, he'd have dealt with it differently. But he didn't know what was going on, and I was sitting there watching this fellow. I knew that he was just working alive with demons. And so the evangelist said, we're going to sing, Satan, your kingdom's got to come down. Said, I'm going to take the devil by the horns tonight. And he left the pulpit and he started right down by that fellow. And when he went back, the fellow jumped up and he ran up and he got in the pulpit. A raving maniac. He was in the pulpit and I just sat there watching. I said, well, I turned it to the evangelist. I'll see what he does. He came on back and he was fixing to come up the steps here. And he hit the evangelist side of the head, almost knocked him down. The evangelist, God-fearing man, one of the finest evangelists I ever knew. But he didn't know what was caught him off guard. I rose and I walked over and put my hand on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, get in that altar. He just turned and fell in the altar. But a lot of my men, my saints, is there, but then a lot of the big ones, those 200 pounders, you know. They were going to see that he didn't hit Brother Barnes. But I waved them back. Finally, they got down there, and they were going to pray for him. And lo and behold, whenever he got the altar, and he stood up with some of those 200 pounders around his neck, just like they wasn't there. Well, the man went on his way. He didn't get deliverance. He didn't want deliverance. He had an affair going on somewhere. Of some kind that he didn't want to give up. But I'll tell you one thing. We don't have to put up with the devil coming and showing out in our church. Now, he can do it over in his yard, and we won't go over there and bite him in his yard. You know, you don't go over and whip the other fellow's dog in his yard. But if he comes over in your yard, you can kick him around a little bit, you know. When the devil gets over on our territory, He's in the wrong place. And we should not allow him to take over. So Jesus Christ will take care of it. Tonight, and it sure is quiet. I expected it to be quiet. Because we're fixing to believe God. And you see, I don't think I'm talking to a bunch of devil-possessed people tonight. I think that about 99% of the people is great, wonderful, Holy Ghost-filled people. But I'll tell you what, this one thing I do know, some of you's got a devil at your house, and you need help. And that's what we're here for. We're going to help you. Amen. Somebody said, well, it just won't do any good, you know, unless they want to. You know, the Lord sent some hornets after some fellas one time in the Bible and sort of made them want to. Amen. God can do a lot of things, you know. He just don't come out and say you got to do it or die, but he can sure can turn on the heat. He can sure put his finger on what you ought to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on up, I just picked the call for you, brother. Except, help me. You and brother. Any of the preachers here, we're going to need all of them here in a little bit. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. This is the deliverance service. And while I've been preaching tonight, a lot of folks have got delivered. I'm not going to ask you to show a hand, but you got deliverance tonight. You made up your mind tonight. And that's all some of you had to do is just make up your mind. When you make up your mind, the devil not coming back. So I remember one time, there was a saint that had once been a fortune teller. And she was getting on up in years, and she was dying of cancer. She'd been in church for several months. And she's on her deathbed, folks. We sent different one of our members to set up with her, but finally got to where none of them had set up. I said, what in the world is going on? Why can't I get somebody all to set up? They said, well, Brother Barnes, you may think we're crazy. But said, those doorknobs turn in the wee hours of the morning, doors open and slam, and said, we can't stand it. Said, the door, the knob will turn, and sometimes the door will open, and we don't understand it. Has she got a devil, reckon? I said, no. She's got the Holy Ghost. And after she passed on, one of my members was helping clean out the attic, and they found one of those old books that she had overlooked. And demons have got a right to hang around where their literature is. Come on. Amen. Nobody's shouting, but I believe you believe it. Praise God. If you want to get rid of devils in your house, get rid of all of his junk. I've actually heard of Pentecostal people having poker cards in the house to play cards. Oh, my God in heaven, those are devil's cards. Die. If you want the devils to stop hanging around your house, get those old junk dice and cards and all that out of the house. You got to clean up this one as well as the one at the house, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say the name of Jesus. We take dominion over Satan, every demon in this building. Satan, we command you to come out. Loose everybody. Let them be free in the name of Jesus. For we plead the blood. That blood that stained the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you have all power in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sure, God loves to deliver people. He don't want to see Satan in anybody. The moment that person says, Satan, get out, he's going to get out, if you mean it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's coming out. I wonder how many here tonight wants the Holy Ghost. And then I wonder how many with this group needs deliverance or have it or something like that. Dope, alcoholic, or anything like that. We have far to go on to that. How many is like that that wants some deliverance here tonight just for those things? Cigarettes, dope, whiskey, snuff, or anything. Amen. All of you stand to your feet that said that. All right? What you want, brother? Right? What do you want, brother? He wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, I know about you. All right? You want deliverance. All right. All of you that want the Holy Ghost to come right on down here. This young man here wants deliverance first. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Deliverance of some kind, oppression or obsession, none of you saints are possessed. You, brother, just stay here. We're going to pray for you. You can come down with the crowd, but if you want, you coming for somebody else. I know that 99% of these people here are full of the Holy Ghost, but you got somebody on your heart that needs deliverance from demon power. You want them delivered. Dope. Whatever it might be, lust. You have somebody in your family that a suicide demon's working on. And if they don't help and get delivered, they're going to be in another world soon, the wrong one. You got somebody tonight in this mass prayer on your heart that you ought to see set free. I want you to march right down in here and just feel this front of it. We're going to pray a mass prayer. And then there's some of you, I want you to come on the platform that you've got something you want me to just lay hands on you about. Now, tomorrow night, it's a healing night. Tonight, I'll pray for epilepsy and habit and things like that. If you want to come up here, you can get ready to come on up here. But here is a great crowd of people coming. Somebody on your heart. There's somebody upon your heart tonight. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to pray, Father. You know every person out there that's possessed tonight. We are asking you to deliver.
We're asking you, Lord, to send your angels. Let the power of God come down. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, honor this prayer tonight. Honor this prayer tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Oh.